war on this planet will never end so long as nations cling to the elusive notions of unlimited national sovereignty. There are only two levels of relative sovereignty on an inhabited world: the spiritual free will of the individual mortal and the collective sovereignty of mankind as a whole. Between the level of the individual human being and the level of the total of mankind, all groupings and associations are relative, transitory, and of value only so far as they enhance the welfare, well-being, and progress of the individual and the planetary grand total, man and mankind. Religious teachers must always remember that the spiritual sovereignty of God overrides all intervening and intermediate spiritual loyalties. Someday civil rulers will learn that the Most Highs rule in the kingdoms of men. This rule of the Most Highs in the kingdoms of men is not for the especial benefit of any especially favored group of mortals. There is no such thing as a chosen people. The rule of the Most Highs, the over-controllers of political evolution, is a rule designed to foster the greatest good to the greatest number of all men and for the greatest length of time. Sovereignty is power, and it grows by organization. This growth of the organization of political power is good and proper, for it tends to encompass ever-widening segments of the total of mankind. But this same growth of political organizations creates a problem at every intervening stage between the initial and natural organization of political power, the family, and the final consummation of political growth, the government of all mankind, by all mankind, and for all mankind. Starting out with parental power in the family group, political sovereignty evolves by organization as families overlap into consanguineous clans, which become united, for various reasons, into tribal units, super consanguineous political groupings. And then, by trade, commerce, and conquest, tribes become unified as a nation, while nations themselves sometimes become unified by empire. As sovereignty passes from smaller groups to larger groups, wars are lessened. That is, minor wars between smaller nations are lessened. But the potential for greater wars is increased as the nations wielding sovereignty become larger and larger. Presently, when all the world has been explored and occupied, when nations are few, strong, and powerful, when these great and supposedly sovereign nations come to touch borders, when only oceans separate them, then will the stage be set for major wars, worldwide conflicts. So-called sovereign nations cannot rub elbows without generating conflicts and eventuating wars. The difficulty in the evolution of political sovereignty from the family to all mankind lies in the inertia resistance exhibited on all intervening levels. Families have, on occasion, defied their clan, while clans and tribes have often been subversive of the sovereignty of the territorial state. Each new and forward evolution of political sovereignty is, and always has been, embarrassed and hampered by the scaffolding stages of the previous developments in political organization. And this is true because human loyalties, once mobilized, are hard to change. The same loyalty which makes possible the evolution of the tribe makes difficult the evolution of the super tribe, the territorial state. and the same loyalty which makes possible the evolution of the territorial state vastly complicates the evolutionary development of the government of all mankind. Political sovereignty is created out of the surrender of self-determinism, first by the individual within the family, and then by the families and clans in relation to the tribe and larger groupings. This world will not enjoy lasting peace until the so-called sovereign nations intelligently and fully surrender their sovereign powers into the hands of the Brotherhood of Men, mankind government. As the number of truly sovereign nations decreases, so do both opportunity and need for mankind government increase. When there are only a few really sovereign powers, either they must embark on the life and death struggle for national supremacy, or else, by voluntary surrender of certain prerogatives of sovereignty, they must create the essential nucleus of supranational power, which will serve as the beginning of the real sovereignty of all mankind. Peace will not come until every so-called sovereign nation surrenders its power to make war into the hands of a representative government of all mankind. Political sovereignty is innate with the peoples of the world. When all the peoples create a world government, they have the right and the power to make such a government sovereign. And when such a representative or democratic world power controls the world's military forces, peace on earth and goodwill among men can prevail, but not until then.